You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Trust Issues. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I want to welcome each and every one of you. We're in a series and we're talking about trust issues when God doesn't make sense. Now, that is something that all of us deal with. I deal with it, you deal with it. None of us are exempt from these trust issues because we're human beings, we're people who have emotions, we're people who have feelings, and we just have to deal with them. And we deal with them with one another. I mean, we have trust issues with one another. And many times those issues affect in how we relate to God. And they end up causing trust issues with God because we end up disappointing one another or letting one another down. Now, there's times in all of our lives because of that that we ask this simple question, can God be trusted? And maybe you find yourself in a situation today that you're asking that very question. And I just want to assure you, God loves you, and that's why you're here, because he wants you to learn more about him. And so no matter if you're a Christian, no matter if you're one who's seeking and trying to learn, is there a God and can he be trusted? You and I have trust issues. There will be seasons in your life, there'll be seasons in my life of where you will experience trust issues. Because what happens is we have a tendency to look around and we see other people's lives and we're basically on Facebook, okay? And when we get on there, it looks like everybody's life is what? Great. It's just phenomenal. It's perfect. And you find yourself asking God to do something in your quote unquote little world and he seems to be silent. You're not asking for something necessarily huge. From your perspective, it's logical, it's reasonable, it wouldn't be that difficult, but he seems silent. And it hasn't been for a day, and it hasn't been for a week. It's been for a season, a long time. And maybe you find yourself today inviting God into a specific area of your life, asking him to do something. It might be in your marriage. It might be in your finances. It might be in your relationship, maybe at work or maybe with a son or a daughter or a mom or a dad. It might be in your career. It might be a health issue. And you're saying, why wouldn't God do something? Why wouldn't God change this? I've stayed in this long enough. And so you've begun to develop some trust issues with God. And it's not just the issue of does he care, but you've been there so long that maybe you're beginning to question whether he even exists. Or does he have the power to be able to change your situation? So I want to ask us all a question today, and here's the question that I want to ask us, okay? Have you ever felt like God was silent? Let's see a hand here, okay? If you have felt that, raise your hand, all right? You know, okay, now just look around. Keep them up and just look around. So what does that tell you? What that tells us and what it tells you is that you're not the only one. All of us here, many of us here, the majority of us here have had seasons in our life of where we have felt that God was silent. Was silent. And so we should take great comfort in that. And yet what sometimes makes it hard is people like me, preachers. Because what happens is you come and you hear a message and maybe we say, hey, three keys to this or three keys to that. And you know what? We send you on your way and you walk out of here and you think, you know what I need to do is I need to pray harder. What I need to do is I need to serve more. What I need to do is just quit sinning. And so what you come up with the conclusion of is this: it's really my fault. It's really my fault. And everything else is working well for those around me, but for me it just isn't. God isn't very active in my life. And so I want you to realize, I want all of us to realize, that probably some point in all of our lives, we have felt that God has been silent. And then there's other people in our lives, let's say that they don't know God, and we hear about how God's working in their life, so to speak. At least we attribute it to God. And they got the promotion. They found a significant other one in their life. They got into that school. And you're saying, they don't even go to church. I'm not even for sure that they believe in God. And look what's happening in their life. Everything is just peaches and cream. And here I am, I'm serving and I'm going to church and I pray and I do other things. And so we begin to have trust issues with God. Or maybe you're in a small group. And what happens is, you know, you go in that small group and you have that time of sharing and somebody's saying, hey, you know what? I've been praying that I could find, maybe for you ladies, I've been praying that I could find a pair of shoes that would match this dress for this special occasion. And you know what? I went to the store this past week and behold, there they were. And you're thinking, you got to be kidding me. I've got an issue with my husband. I've got an issue with my daughter. I've got this problem at work. And God gives you your pair of shoes. And for some reason, my situation, my circumstances haven't changed a bit. Well, here's what I want us to know in light of all of that. I want you to know that I don't have easy answers for you today. There are no easy answers. Life is hard. Life is difficult. We learned last week that Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. You will have trouble. And we need to understand that. But what I want us to get today is this, and that is, if God is silent, he must be absent. That's not true. That's just absolutely not true. That's how we think when we look around us and we see this happening in their life and this happening in her life and this happening in his life and we question, what's going on here? God, you're silent. And so we come up with the conclusion, well, if God is silent, he must be absent because he's not answering my prayers. He's not doing what I need him to do. He's not active in my life. And what that can lead to in our lives is a lack of confidence, a lack of faith, a lack of hope. And so it develops trust issues. And we believe sometimes the lie that if God is silent, he must be absent. Well, today I want us to look at a man. His name is John the Baptist. And the great thing about the Bible is that God gives us examples of people's lives. The good, the bad, the tough, the hard, the difficult, the victories, the losses, the failures. He gives us all of that so that you and I can have examples and that we can draw from other people's lives. And John the Baptist, just for the record, as we dive into this, Jesus said that he was the greatest person who ever lived, that was ever born of a woman. And I like to hear stories like that because when I hear stories of other people who I know that God loves and God has confidence in, and they have gone through maybe something that I am going through right now, it gives me that confidence. It gives me that faith. It gives me that hope. And by the way, that's why it's so important to be in small groups. And I just encourage you to be in that. because God is not a respecter of persons. He loves every single one of us. And so let me tell you a little bit about John the Baptist and bring us up to speed. He was the cousin of Jesus. God had given him a role to prepare the way for Jesus Christ, and his message was basically one of repent, which basically means stop it. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop the sinning. Stop doing the wrong. Because God is wanting to do something incredible. God wants to do something special in your life. Now, John was pretty wild and crazy, okay? He ate locusts. He wore animal skin. He was out in the wilderness. I mean, he would be what most people would say is a man's man. He was fearless. He was fearless. And he was unafraid to speak the truth no matter who was in the audience. And what happened is he spoke against the king of that area, of that region, Herod. And Herod had become involved with a woman who happened to be his brother's wife. And she moved in with him. And John the Baptist spoke out against it. He just declared, you know what? That is wrong. That is adultery. And King Herod's girlfriend, who ultimately became his wife, Herodias, she didn't like it. And she wanted Herod to put an end to it. And though Herod knew that John the Baptist was popular and that if he would do that, it would probably cause a uprising because he was popular among the common people, what he did is he ended up putting him in prison. And I want to share with us this story because I believe that John the Baptist felt that God was silent. Someone as great as John the Baptist. And I would say if John the Baptist had that feeling and that thought, then you and I are going to have those thoughts too. And so here's what it says. We're going to pick up the story in Mark chapter 6, verses 17 to 21. It says, "For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested and had him bound and put in prison." All right, let's go on. "He did this because Herodias, his brother's Philip's wife, whom he had married," okay? He basically took his brother's wife and married her. "For John had been saying to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.'" Now, he's saying it's not lawful, basically against the Jewish law. It wasn't against Roman law, but it was against the Jewish law. And so here we have John the Baptist who's preparing the way for Jesus. His message is repent, stop doing that which is wrong. And he calls out the king and his mistress. And they didn't like it. And so he had him put in prison. Goes on to say this. "So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted him killed." I can imagine that, can't you? I want you to shut up and quit meddling in my business. If I want to divorce my husband and marry his brother, that's my business. But Herodias nursed a grudge. And that's what happens when you and I nurse grudges. It ultimately leads to destruction. We want that person destroyed. We want them dead, so to speak. And that's what she was asking. Goes on to say this, though. "But she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. She wanted him dead, but there was something in Herod that knew that John was a righteous man, that he was a holy man, that you know what? Honey, he's right. We are living in sin. We are doing that which is wrong. And you know what? I don't want to compound the problem. I don't want to make the problem bigger than what it is. And so he refused to kill him. Goes on to say this. "When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, and yet he liked to listen to him." See, he kind of liked John. I mean, it's one of those relationships that you don't really listen to what the person is saying, but you're a little bit amused. You're a little bit entertained by what they have to say. Because no doubt John was a passionate man, and he would come and he would throw his heart on the table and he would share. And Herod said, man, I like you. Man, you're pretty good. I'm not going to do what you're saying, but you're pretty good. And so here we have John the Baptist speaking out against Herod. And Herodias wanted him dead. And yet Herod said, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Because I kind of like to listen to him, and I believe that he's a righteous man. And so I'm just going to put him in prison. And so here we have John the Baptist in prison for doing the very thing that God asked him to do. He didn't do anything wrong. He was doing that which was right. And yet he found himself in prison. And as I read this story and I don't understand everything, my natural bias would say, well, God's not going to let this happen to his servant. God's not going to let this happen to the man who is considered the greatest man who ever lived on earth. And yet he stayed in prison. Now, John would have people come and visit him. And when John would have people come and visit him, he would begin to hear things about Jesus and what Jesus was doing and where he was going. He was healing people. And those people may have been Romans. He was bringing hope to women. And he was changing people's lives who he didn't even know. And yet, John probably felt, you know what? He's doing that for all of those people, and here I am. I'm his servant and his cousin. And I led the way for him, and he's letting me remain in prison. Are you kidding me? What's wrong with this picture? And I believe that John began to have trust issues. And so here's what we learn. In Matthew, he tells another part of the story. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, that was Jesus, he sent his disciples to ask him something. He said, I'm hearing what Jesus is doing, and I want to find out if this is really true. I want to find out if this is actually going on. And here's what he sent them to ask him. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Wow. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Sounds like he's having a little bit of trust issues here. I know who I've told everybody you are, and I've prepared the way for you, but are you really the one who you told me you were? I've heard all these stories, but I need to know, because I'm starting to doubt. I'm starting to question. And here's what I want us to understand as we have trust issues, and it is this right here. Our circumstances can influence our view of God. Was John a good man? Absolutely, he was a good man. I mean, Scripture tells us that. But because of where he was and what he was feeling, maybe it started to influence his view of God. Jesus, are you really the one? You see, that happens with all of us. This affects all of us, whether it's the good that's happening in our life or the bad that's happening in our life. Let's say that things are going very well for you. Let's say that you're making more money now than what you've ever made. You got married, you're happy, you got a kid, you built a house, everything is going on in your life, and it's going on very, very well. Our circumstances can influence our view of God. Because when that happens, we have a tendency to be less dependent upon God. Man, things are going good. I have this opportunity. I have that opportunity. Life has never been better. Or maybe it's just the opposite for you. Maybe you're a little bit like John the Baptist. You're not making more money. You're making less money. Your relationships are not great. Your marriage is in trouble. and you've prayed and prayed, and nothing has happened. And so your trust is wavering. You're wondering, God, what do I have to do? How can I get your attention? And you're like John the Baptist. You're asking for some help. You're asking for a sign. You feel like God is not working for you. But can I just say that when we think that way, and this is true about me, okay? I just want you to know that, okay? I'm including myself in this. When we think that way, aren't we being a little bit selfish? Aren't we being a little bit self-centered? That we end up losing trust in God when our circumstances are not the way that we want them to be? See, what erodes our trust? What erodes our trust? Let me give you some ways in which our trust erodes, okay? One is through difficult situations. Difficult situations, right? Whenever you and I hit a bump in life, whenever things don't go according to our plans, you know, if we're not careful, our circumstances can influence our view of God. Maybe the marriage isn't where you would want it to be, or it's not what you dreamed it would be. Maybe your son or daughter has made some choices and you're thinking, I brought them up in church. Or maybe you didn't get the promotion, whatever it is, but you find yourself in a difficult situation. You see, that's where John found himself. John found himself in a very difficult situation. He was in prison. He was probably in a 10 by 10 cell, and he was an outdoorsman. I mean, he was a wilderness guy, okay? Just let me be out in the open. And he found himself in a situation that he had never been in before, and it was uncomfortable. And so difficult situations can sometimes be a way of which our trust in God erodes. Another one would be the influence of others. The influence of others. You see, John the Baptist was among a group of people who basically felt and believed that Jesus was going to come and set up his kingdom. That he was going to overthrow Rome. And that he was going to make every wrong right here on earth. And you know that as well as me. When you constantly hear people say certain things, you begin to say, well, maybe that is true. Maybe that is true. And so we're influenced by others. Another one is just a limited perspective. A limited perspective. And John Jeff definitely had that. He was in a prison. So all his perspective was basically 10 by 10. And his world had shrunk. And all he could see and understand is, I'm in prison. There's supposed to be a Messiah out there who's doing incredible, unbelievable things, the miraculous, and I'm still sitting here. And so you and I can have a limited perspective. Maybe about our marriage, maybe about our boss, maybe about our health, maybe about our finances. And it's in that limited perspective that what happens is we only see what is right in front of us. And it is a way in which our trust in God begins to erode. Or maybe it's this right here. Maybe it's just unfulfilled expectations. Unfulfilled expectations. You know, no doubt John struggled with that. Man, I would. Man, I was your front man. I was the one who was leading the way, and I did it recklessly and courageously, and I was obeying you, and I would call out anybody. Matter of fact, I called out the king. I was against what you were against, and I was for what you were for, and I thought surely you would come, and you would change the situation. And you haven't. And maybe today you find yourself in a difficult situation. Maybe you have been influenced by what you're hearing from other people. Well, if there is a God, then he wouldn't let that happen to you. Or maybe you have a limited perspective that, you know what, you've been in this situation so long that that's all you can see. Or maybe you thought that God was going to do something and he hasn't done it. And so you find yourself with your trust being eroded. And so John says to his disciples, he said, hey, I need you to do something. I need you to go find out whether Jesus is really who he says he is and if he is the one. And so here we have John the Baptist with all that he saw and all that he experienced. By the way, can I just help you with this? He baptized Jesus. He's the one who said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So we're not talking about a newbie here. We're not talking somebody who just fell off the wagon. We're talking somebody who had a deep personal relationship with God. And he finds himself in this situation that he never found himself in. And I think he's having some questions here. And so he sends the disciples, and here's what we learn. The disciples asked him, Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Wow. Can you imagine that? You know, going, wait a second, John, you've been telling us for months that this is the one. You've been telling us that he is the Messiah. You've been telling us and you've been preaching to us and you've been ranting and raving about this. And now you're asking us to go and ask him this question? And by the way, Jesus didn't answer the way in which they thought. He didn't answer. He didn't say, yeah, I'm the one. And you know what? I'm going to go there and I'm going to put Herod in his place and I'm going to break John out of the prison. That's what we would expect, right? You're telling me my boy John the Baptist, my right-hand guy, is in prison? I'm going to break him out, but that's not what he says. Here's what he says. Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and what you see. What you hear and what you see. Wow. So go back and tell him this. Report on God's activity. Report on what God is doing. Report on what you hear and what you see. And here's what he told them. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is being proclaimed to the poor. Wow. He said, I want you to go tell them what's happening on the outside. And probably as they were turning to leave, he says, but wait a second here. I got one other thing I want you to tell John. And here's what he says. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Wow. Blessed is anybody who does not stumble on the account of me. Who falls away, who quits believing, who quits trusting on account of me. Unbelievable. Just because I do something or just because I don't do something, don't let it cause you to stumble. Just because I don't respond in the way in which you want me to, don't let it cause you to stumble. Blessed is the one who does not stumble on whether I do something or I don't do something. And we're talking about John the Baptist. And you say, well, didn't he like John the Baptist? What did I tell us earlier? Here's what Matthew has to say here. Matthew says, and this is Jesus talking, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him. But you see, what happens with you and me is this right here, okay? We have a tendency to allow our circumstances to influence our view of God. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, let's take Harvey and Irma, for example, okay? That probably hasn't affected your trust in God because you know what you say to the people in Texas and you say to the people in Florida? We're praying for you. God loves you. He's faithful. Because when it happens to somebody else, okay, when you go through a hard time, guess what I do? Here's what I do. I pray. Praying for you. God bless you. We serve a great God. He's powerful. But when I go through a hard time, I doubt. I doubt. Are you all okay on that one? See, that's pretty self-centered of Dwight. Because what happens is, I think that my circumstances determines how God feels about me and what God thinks of me. And that's a lie. Just because God is silent does not mean that he's absent. Does not mean that he's not at work. And so what do you and I do when God seems silent? What do you and I do when we're going through something for a period of time and it just doesn't seem to change? What do? Well, we do what Jesus told the disciples to do. And I want to share this with you in closing. Here's the first thing we do. We remember God's silence doesn't mean he's his absence. We remember that God's silence doesn't mean his absence. That just because you don't hear God doesn't mean that he's distant. That he's not aware. And so we need to do that. Here's the second thing. We need to realize that our circumstances don't always convey God's feelings about us or about you. Remember and realize that your circumstances don't always convey God's feeling about you. You see, God proved his feelings about you 2,000 years ago when he died on a cross for you and me. And so I have to remind myself, and that's what he was telling them. You need to realize, yeah, John, you're in prison, but that doesn't convey my feelings about you. I'm going to go and I'm going to die for you so that you can have eternal life, so that you can have forgiveness of sin. And you need to realize that. And Dwight, you need to realize that. And then I need to recall what God has done. I need to recall on what God has done when God seems silent. I mean, just think in your own life what God has done for you. You know, maybe he restored your marriage. Maybe he brought back into your life your son or your daughter. Maybe he gave you that promotion. Maybe he worked through a time of health issues. But I know when I look back on my life, it's unbelievable what God has done in my life. And he's just as real today when I think that he is silent as he was back then when I knew that he was alive and active in my life. Does that make sense to anybody? And so we need to recall what God has done. And that's what they told John. And then we need to do this. We need to reflect on what God is doing right now. We need to reflect on what God is doing right now. You know, I've talked to some people who have been to Texas. And they tear up. And they just say, you know what? I've never felt God more than when I was there. We prayed with people. We loved on people. People that we didn't even know. And in spite of Harvey, in spite of Irma, of where people were saying, where's God in all of this? If God really loves us, why would he let this happen? There are hundreds and thousands of people who are going there. And they're doing good. And they're speaking hope and healing. And they're giving help to people. And we need to reflect on what God is doing right now. Outside of our prison. Outside of that circumstances or that situation that is painful and difficult. We just need to get outside our cell and to be able to realize that. And so what do these things reveal to you and me? Here's what they reveal. God's character trumps our circumstances. God's character trumps our circumstances. God's in charge. God's in control. Though he might be silent, he's not absent. Now, I wish I could tell you that John eventually got freed and set out of prison, but he didn't. Didn't end that way. What ended up happening is his head was taken off. They beheaded him. And the question is, where was God when that happened? He was in the same place that he was just a few weeks later when his son hung on a cross for your sins and my sins. And the Son of the living God didn't fully understand everything that was going on. And you know what he said? If it be possible, if there's any other way, let this cup be passed from me. God, I'm in a painful situation. I'm in a hard situation. And if there's any way that you can let this cup pass from me, let it be. But not my will, but your will be done. And so 2,000 years later, we're here. You know why? Because the death of John the Baptist and the death of Jesus Christ did not move God one inch off of his throne. He's God. He's in control. And though you might think that he is silent, he is not absent. And I want to close with one more thought, because Jesus gave the disciples of John the secret for you and me. Here's what it is. Blessed is anyone. Who's anyone? That's you and me. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on the account of me. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble because I did something or I didn't do something. Because I allowed something or I didn't allow something. He is saying, blessed, blessed, God honoring, God gift to you and me is the person who will not allow the circumstances of life to dictate their relationship with God. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning and today for who you are. We ask that you would help us, and as the disciples prayed many times, help our unbelief. We know that you are trustworthy, and yet we have times in our life, we have seasons in our life, we experience circumstances in our life of where, you know what, we need affirmation. We need to know, we need to be reminded, we need to reflect, we need to recall that though you might be silent, you are never, ever absent. And so we pray that whether it's a marriage, whether it's a health issue, whether it's a financial issue, whether it's a relational issue, whatever it is, that we would know that you are good and that you are great and that you're generous. And may we never stumble because of what you do or because of what you choose not to do. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.